Thing Entertainment.
Lori and Julia show, My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Thank you so much for joining us. We got a whole lot of stuff we want to tell you about that you probably don't know, so that means we're doing our job.
That's right. We're getting our music feels on right now. We got some new music we want to share with you guys. So we're still looking for our elusive summer song.
We have not found it.
No.
We've got some songs that we love, but we just haven't found the one that's like
the catchy,
like Uptown Funk was, you know, and
the earworm, Call Me Maybe,
Shut Up and Dance. That was such a great one from like two years ago?
Three years ago, Donnie.
I think you're right. Well, okay, so Nick Jonas, he's got a new music video for his brand new song, Remember I Told You, featuring Anne Marie and Mike Posner.
I have no clue who he is.
You would know his music if you saw him.
Okay.
Your nieces
know who it is.
They are in love with him. They love his music. They love his voice. Blah, blah, blah. They're always like, oh, when is he coming to town? Anyway, Remember I Told You will be Nick Jonas's lead single off his upcoming album due out later this year. And, of course, they do it like, you know, they release the singles
one at
ahead
a time.
Of time.
Yep.
And so we posted the video. Let's take a listen to the song, Donnie.
Remember I told you I need you. Remember the spot that was there. All of the words that I'm saying. I just a fancy way of saying I care. I don't suppose you have a moment to spare.
Think,
I want to hear. I want to hear Anne Marie.
Okay. Have a moment to spam into you. Do you remember? I told you I need you.
I like him.
It's good.
I totally love Nick Jonas.
Yeah.
She comes in a little later, I think.
She does.
The video kind of reminds me of
Scream.
It's the same.
Oh,
the Michael Jackson.
Yep.
What is the song called? Remember I Told You?
Yeah, Remember I Told You.
It sounds like Michael Jackson's Remember the Time.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
You don't think so?
No.
Really?
No.
You'd have to find that song, Donnie, and play it.
Find it. I don't think so at all.
Julia didn't think that...
I know. She doesn't think anything sounds like anything else.
Yeah, you didn't think that one song sounded like the
Marvin
Gaye song.
That's because when we write our song, I don't want other people to think it sounds like their song. No, but the room... So the video's posted. It's kind of cool. It starts out in black and white, and he's in the same room that Janet Jackson and Michael Jackson were in the video Scream.
I swear they
did. It's the exact same room. But this newcomer, this Anne Marie, he said he was in the UK and Rockabye, that's the song she sings, was still in the charts, and he loved it so much he loved her voice.
Okay.
So he got in touch with her.
So is she the singer on Clean Bandit that does Rockabye?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
With Sean Paul.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so I love Nick Jonas.
Yeah, I do too.
He's just fun.
Yeah.
So
I've seen him perform, and he's like really...
He's fun.
He's a showman, and his little brother Frankie is in the video.
Yeah.
He makes an appearance. Okay. Then let's listen to this song.
Here's Remember the Time.
Here.
It's not at all.
What?
No. But you wanna check.
It's got a similar kind of groove.
Well, it's so slow.
Do you remember?
No.
Oh,
you're
off.
No,
you're off on that one.
Oh, geez, so sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
I know.
You had Remember. That was right.
It was,
Remember. That was the key.
And it was in the same video room.
The video
was shot. There were a couple similarities.
Okay, so Katy Perry, you know, we had heard that she was doing a song with Calvin Harris.
We already heard it.
Did we already hear this one? Feels?
Yeah, but play it again.
Play it again.
Let's see if it catches on this time.
All right, we'll see if we like it. This is going to be on Calvin Harris's album, which is out June 30th, and he's got a lot of collabs. Nicki Minaj, Frank Ocean, Ariana Grande. Well, he's the DJ.
He's the DJ. He has to have a singer with him.
The music video is newly released today.
Yes.
It's Katy Perry in a yellow wig in a field of flowers.
With a horrible yellow dress on.
Okay, here we go. Big Sean. I like it.
I do too.
I like it better than the first time we heard it.
Yeah,
I do too.
I don't remember hearing it the first time.
And I think this is used in Despicable Me 3 because Pharrell Williams was on the Today Show this morning talking about his triplets. Mm-hmm. And it just blows. Yeah. And in the video, she has like yellow, mustard yellow hair and this horrific dress that costs $5,200.
Yeah.
It just looks like someone tied a bunch of fabric around her.
Fantastic.
Don't be afraid to catch the feels.
Okay. So, Donnie, do you still have this song from Yesterday?
Yeah.
Ansel Elgort, who stars in Baby Driver, which is getting rave movie reviews. People are. Right now, that's at 99% on Rotten Tomato.
And they're calling that movie, Baby Driver, an action musical. Mm-hmm. It's a crime, tragic comedy. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still looking. So.
Okay. So he's singing. He says that the song is called All I Think About You. And he's told Billboard it was inspired by a past memory. And so
as many songs are,
as many songs
right,
are
way to open up.
I know. Baby Driver stars Kevin Spacey, Jamie Foxx, John Hamm, and Lily James, and it opens tomorrow. I know because it's summer, so sometimes they do the Wednesday releases. But anyway, I don't know if Ansel can sing like he can act, but
I guess he's already got. This is his second song. Like he can sing, I guess.
Well, we'll let's.
All right.
I'm supposed to be. Happy and free,
everyone's
thinking to me.
Let's advance it a little bit.
They should feel miles away.
A little bit more.
Instead, I pay for it, heartache. Now I don't know what to do.
No.
Heavy auto tune.
Heavy auto tune. I actually Ansel.
No, Lord, he has. He wants to be a singer now.
Okay, but a lot of people want to be.
But
actors that are singers,
but you
and
have
it doesn't
to
always work out.
Kind of be good for autotune to work.
Yeah,
that's what Rock will keep telling us because we used to always say, why can't when we do the top five at five, why can't you just autotune us? And he says, because you know, for that to work, you have to sort of be good. And I'm like, well, there's a big slam. Wow. That's a slam, slam.
And Taylor Swift came out of her Nashville condo to post a message on Instagram for the NBA awards were last night, I guess. And the MVP was Russell Westbrook. I saw his very sweet, emotional speech everywhere. But she did an Instagram video thing. Kind of having fun with that she taught him how to dribble and all this stuff. And the reason that she did it, though, Julia, is that because he has posted photos. He is for a couple of years. He's a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
And he does videos of himself in the car jamming out to her music. Mm. So I think it's sweet that she did this. It's super corny, but I can't hate it.
Well, I hate her
That's
hair.
That's why
she hair, there's something wrong because she has her bangs.
Well, too, she just doesn't have her hair blown out and flat ironed. Her hair is natural. That's called wash and wear. Okay? That is a bad reason to hate on a girl because she's just coming out with a wash and wear haircut. Okay? She obviously flat irons the hell. That's how my hair looks if it's not flat ironed. It's like a curly pie like that.
Okay, fine.
I know. Nothing, but see, he is a fan of hers. That's why.
Well, that would put it into context because they just played it this morning. I'm like, oh.
No. He is always like, he likes all of her songs. He's been at her concerts.
He was super generous. This NBA awards, Donnie, is this like the second year of these or something? Is this something new?
I don't think. No, it's not that new.
No,
it's been going on
new.
For a while.
Yeah. He invited the whole team up to get the award, and he seems like a cool guy.
Anyway, Taylor is slowly just going to be this. We haven't seen or heard from her in months.
We hear from her people.
Yeah.
About how fabulous and undercover her relationship is.
That's right.
But we keep hearing how undercover.
All right, listen, when we come back, we are going to have our random thoughts with Julia.
Oh, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheek implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Well, we got an Instagram from someone who said, I just have been out of town for a while, but I can't believe you gals are not taken away with Despacito.
Oh, we do like that song.
The Justin Bieber song, which is a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put that in like the running.
I would too. Because it's pretty fun.
It is a good song. Mm-hmm. And I think they should play it more often, just like I think they should play Malibu more often by Miley.
I would agree with you. Donnie, did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
You fit me, telling me, love how you put it on.
Got it's Justin Bieber.
Know how to turn it on. The way you nibble on my ear, the only words I want to hear. Baby, take it slow so we can last long.
Tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal.
Don't ask him to sing the Spanish part.
It's too slow to be the song of the song.
Oh.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Ooh. I would just put it in as one of the summer songs. I'm not ready to give it the song of the summer.
You're not going to put it there? All right, so breaking news. On the cover of the Star Tribune just broke about 12 minutes ago. Minnesota has the fattest cats and dogs in the entire nation. More than 40% of Minnesota's pets are obese, according to Banfield, which is a national hospital chain. And so,
how the heck do they even know that?
Okay, so according to a new report based on the physiques of more than 2.5 million dogs and cats in the United States, people have found the opposite pattern for pets than there are for people, because you would think the heavier states would have the heaviest pets, where they have the lightest pets. The most physical states have heavier pets. Like Minnesota, Colorado.
We're giving our treats to the animals. And
we show them love. They're treated as family.
Yeah, they get...
table scraps, treats, extra scoops of kibble, extra ice cream. The animals were all seen. This is a real story. Topping the list for both chunky cats and dogs, Minnesota, 41% of pooches and 46% of kitties are overweight. And second place, Nebraska. So... this is a national change. They were really surprised that there's no correlation between people's weights and your animal weights, but quit showing them so much love. And apparently...
who are you to tell people to quit showing their animals so much love
with
kibble?
With food.
Julia.
Here's what happens to dogs, is that they like people. When you're overweight, you get type 2 diabetes, you get all those things. Same things happens to pets. If you're overweight, things start to break down in your body.
My mom has the fattest Pomeranian. It looks like it's going to explode. Bella, she's a black pom. She literally looks like a blown up balloon with a tiny little face and a big furry tail. And no, she doesn't, you know, she's not able to walk. She's getting a knee replacement. Right, yeah. So the dog has been fat. All it wants to do is run around the yard and chase robins. It doesn't want to go for walks.
All right.
But I can't tell if it's fat or if it's the fur.
Well.
Palms are really quite fluffy.
Yeah, they are fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a chubby, it's not good for your dog. And all it takes is diet and exercise, just like people.
Exercise the dog.
You take him on walks.
Yeah.
You take him on walks and you don't feed him as much. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Okay, so starting August 7th, we talked about this before, you can now get married at Taco Bell in Vegas. And
why?
Well, listen to this.
Why not?
Why? That's
where I'm having my next wedding.
No, that is terrible.
Well, Arby's, I can get it at Arby's too.
That's terrible. That's just so 50 shades of wrong.
Isn't it? It's a joke wedding place. But here's what you get for your $600 that it costs you. 12 tacos, that adds up to maybe $13.
Right.
A cake, which might be $25, and a bouquet of hot sauce.
Oh, my word.
Mm-hmm. And the price, you know, is priceless because you're getting married at the Taco Bell and in Las Vegas. Can you imagine? Nope. Just being in your room.
Yeah.
As your phone. What was that? Just being in the same room as your phone makes you instantly dumber. And I noticed this. Like, if you're having a conversation, what? I don't know what's going on with you.
Don't do this story, because this ties in with another story that we're doing. Save that for 4:30, Julia. All your good things with
okay.
the phone.
Because yeah,
we have a phone.
Yeah, you're right, Lori. Yeah.
Story
yeah.
I forgot to tell you okay. about with a little something.
Okay. Oh, all right. I didn't know
I
about
just
that.
Thought, you know.
All right.
I should give you a heads up before you went all down the random path.
Well, thank
of that,
you.
And we start
thank you.
About
thank
it
you. All right. So, you know how the natural look is in, and everyone wants to have the natural look, and people, you know, say in magazines, I look natural. I don't have any makeup on.
I don't believe any
They're
of them.
All lying because mm-hmm. it takes 29 minutes a day to look natural.
Natural.
And it takes more products to look natural than to put on your average bright lipstick or something because you have to do all the soft contouring. You know, you have to do the under eye. You have to get your skin the same tone. To look natural, it takes a lot of work. And nude lips, flawless coverage. People, if you want the natural look, it does take a little more time.
Well, I think the people that have been wearing makeup kind of have known that. We know that because it's like, oh, my gosh. And you come in all the time and you go, I have so much makeup on. I'm like, you don't have any makeup on. I can't see anything. You're sporting the natural look and you put on a lot of makeup. And
but I don't even, I
like
don't put on enough.
Natural beauty.
I don't put on enough. I'm lazy that way. Now, would you ever leave your house without makeup to go to Target?
I have done it all the time.
You do.
I keep
your sunglasses on.
That's right, because it is National Sunglass Day, Julia.
I know it is. Mm-hmm. It is. And I've got a little sunglass.
No, I know, but I just will keep my sunglasses on.
In Target?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I can see perfectly well in my sunglasses.
Anna Wintour over there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen, when you don't have eye makeup on and you just sometimes have to keep your sunglasses on.
It isn't that, but sometimes I just want to be incognito while I'm squeezing my melons and
in your purple bananas. In your purple Ray-Ban, yeah. Your purple oversized Maori gems.
Why do you have to be incognito?
I don't know.
Who's going to recognize you squeezing the melons?
I don't know. I just want to keep them on.
Okay.
I am too lazy to switch, take them off, put them in my purse. Just seems easier to walk around with them on.
Okay, so here, tell me if you think, what do you think this, okay, so about International Sunglass Day, what your sunglasses say about you.
All right, I've got aviators
okay,
today.
We both have been sporting those a lot. Apparently, unless you're a police officer, pilot, or work in a profession that requires aviators to be worn, we're posers.
Yes, as a matter uh-huh. of fact, we are. That's why we like
You
them.
Love the shine factor, the metallic frame, teamed yes. up with slick hair in a style that screams, don't touch me.
That's right.
Okay, if you are wearing the the classic Ray-Ban.
Ray-Ban, mm-hmm.
Absolute cool cat. Cooler than a cucumber. Cooler than a hipster sipping a latte.
Brian Lambert has been wearing his Ray-Ban since yep. 1986.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The classic one, the Wayfarer edition, is that if you're wearing fake Ray-Bans, you're fake. If you are wearing...
Really? That means she doesn't want to read it.
Yeah.
And she's just
what does that mean?
Editorializing
yeah, fake Ray-Bans, you're a fake. Well, duh.
Okay, but if you're the person... And sometimes these glasses work and sometimes they just don't, where you want to wear two glasses in one. You want to be able to go outside and have the darkness and be inside and have the light. But when you're inside, a lot of times they're still dark.
Yeah.
You know, the two in one. We applaud your practicality, your obvious and your obvious refusal to care about what anyone thinks about you because those things are fugly. They just say it here. Two men in one. Those are ugly glasses.
Hmm. Yeah. You mean the ones you flip up?
No, the ones that you go outside and they turn brown.
The lens changes.
The lens changes. Oh. Most likely worn by busy parents, old parents, older parents, teachers, old people.
Old teachers and old people.
Mm-hmm. I do. Don't you agree, though? When you see someone in those glasses,
no,
there's someone that isn't
someone
up to speed.
Flip-up lenses. A lot of people get those gradient lenses that change. I mean, you know.
Anyone in your age group?
Well.
I can't think of one.
All right, maybe you've got a point
so
there.
So I did.
I love Julia's mom's sunglasses. Those are something.
The goggles.
The goggles over the glasses.
Yeah, right.
The
dark.
Red Baron. The Red Baron goggles with her scarf. Her eyes watered so much. I'll never forget when she showed up at the movie theater. Mom, I know.
All right. Listen, here's Kenny, and we'll be back with digital dementia, people.
This one.
But I'm leaving here without you, won't be.
It's time for our Zevia break.
Yeah.
We can drink pop without feeling bad about it. No sugar, no calories. It's clear. It tastes good.
Nothing,
we love it.
Nothing artificial. We love our low-J beverage break.
We do.
Okay, so Julia, let's talk about digital dimension.
Dementia?
Digital dementia. That's what they're calling it. And this was, I think you were starting to refer to it. Austin University did experiments about smartphones making us dumb.
Yes.
And having a smartphone, even in the same room as you, restricts your brain power, even if it is switched off. People struggle to complete simple tasks if their phone is even in the same room with them.
Well, it's
and they say smartphones act like a brain drain because we're always thinking about what's on our phone. I wonder if anyone liked that. I wonder if anyone responded. Did they get back to me? It makes it very hard. So these Austin University researchers.
I totally believe this.
Yeah, they wanted to see. They did it with 800 smartphone users, and that's how they figured it out. And they're calling it, for lack of a better word, digital dementia, because starting even at a young age, people offload so many things to their devices, you're not developing your memory muscle.
No, because you put it in your notes, and I'll get it later, or you put it over here. And I'm out.
Or even with directions. You know, one of the things I remember moving down to the cities from Duluth and the big city, and I literally got lost every single day the first summer I moved down here. I was constantly getting lost. Well, that's how I figured out the city.
Yeah, right. And reading a map. Reading a map is like, so you can understand how far things are apart, how close things are. And
we recommend on a cross country trip, have your map, because sometimes the signal fails and you will need it.
But the dependence on directions like this, I think.
But isn't that amazing that even having the phone in the same room with you, so even like with your kids, and when it's time for schoolwork or whatever, they don't even have it in the same room, even if it's turned off.
I totally believe. I was having a conversation with someone,
and whether it was lying face up, face down, it didn't matter.
Well, think about it. When you're having a conversation with someone and we can't think of who it is, what do? We go online and look it up.
Yeah.
And I'm having a conversation trying to remember Jeremy, and I kept coming Jeremy Irons, and the other person wanted to look it up. And I said, you're not Googling it. We need to figure this out. We have the brain power to do it.
Right.
It took me a while, but I figured it out.
Yeah.
But it's just not getting the instant gratification of knowing everything. I mean, for our jobs, it helps. But I mean, outside of your job, it just is. I love not knowing where my phone is at home. I need it when I leave. I go into a panic attack if I don't, can't find it.
Yeah, yeah. And the other research that they did suggests that the vast amount of information available on Google fools us into thinking that we are smarter than we actually are.
Oh.
So this was kind of an interesting thing that they had this morning on GMA. This is just one principal at one school that's, you know, gave a challenge. So let's take a listen.
With so many kids glued to their phones and tablets, there's a school principal who gave them a challenging summer assignment to put down their devices for just one day a week. Now, her plan could cost her some big bucks, but she says it's all worth it.
Washington, D.C. school principal Diana Smith knows that devices and social media can wreak havoc on teens.
I really want the kids not mindlessly grabbing for the phone, but thinking about whether or not the phone is going to be their source of entertainment.
So she decided to find a way to motivate her students to disconnect from screens and plug into life with a challenge.
They go without any screens, devices, for the 11 Tuesdays of the summer. If they do that, I will give them $100.
Yep, you heard that right. Principal Smith has promised cold hard cash out of her own pocket to each 8th and 9th grader who can go 11 Tuesdays without a phone, a tablet, or a TV this summer. With 160 eligible students, that could be a $16,000 payout. One potential beneficiary, 14-year-old Nicholas, who normally spends 4 to 6 hours a day online, now says he's thinking strategies about how to stay off.
Giving my phone to my parents and making sure that I can't get to it.
And what he'll do with that tech-free time.
Read a book, ride my bike, go running, or exercise in a gym.
Principal Smith is hoping a new habit once a week may lead to something more.
I'm hoping that it will be disruptive enough to get them to think about, gee, maybe I liked who I was on Tuesday, and maybe I want to be like that on Wednesday and Thursday too.
So for proof, the kids need to provide two letters from adults saying they signed off and stayed off their devices. And while Smith says she realizes this could cost her, she says she'd rather pay up than watch her students be their best selves, and they hope this challenge is going to catch on.
And this one kid that they interviewed, he's like, I'll do it. I'm doing it for $100. That's a lot of money. You know, eighth grade, $100 is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the woman was like, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, if I'm not outside, I'm going to read. Tuesday is going to be my reading day. A book.
I mean, it's just, well, it's amazing because I remember trying to think of incentives to get my kids off all the gaming crap and think, oh, yeah, you know, I'll give you blah, blah, blah if you can do it for summer. Mm-hmm. No way. Mm-hmm. You know, no way can I do that. And I know a parent who, if their kid didn't get a cell phone until a certain year, was going to give them like $1,000. Mm-hmm. And they did it. But yeah. I mean, it has to be a big incentive. I just love it that a principal is putting her toe in the water and say, because it makes such a huge difference when people are engaged versus thinking, like you said, if the phone's over there worrying about who's getting back to them and everything, it's really disruptive.
In the experiment that they did at the university at Austin, the students, there were the 800 students that they performed better on cognitive skills tests when the phone was completely not anywhere around them. It wasn't on their desk. It wasn't in their bag. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anywhere. They did better. So they're just calling it that it's the first signs of digital dementia.
Wow. I believe it. And think of the anxiousness and the anxiety, you know, that goes on thinking, oh, gosh, did they get back to me? Did everyone see that? You know, like what you said.
Well, you're just not really using your brain as much anymore because we're letting...
We used to have to remember telephone numbers. Yeah, I don't even know my kids.
Yeah.
I know yours, my mother's, and a sister.
Yeah.
I know both of yours.
Yeah.
Do you? I know yours
but
too,
I mean,
Danny.
Most people only know like maybe five numbers off the top of their head now anymore. Yeah. And we used to know a gazillion.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a seventh caller. And if you want to go see a fantastic show at the Guthrie, call 651-641-1071. You will be going to Sunday in the Park with George.
The musical.
On July 11th at 7:30. And so this could be your lucky, lucky day. 651-641-1071. And Donnie will get that. Mm-hmm. Julia, I'm curious if you like Jada Pinkett Smith. Donnie did one fashion for us today.
I saw it. And it's posted on our show page.
Mm-hmm. And?
She looks lovely, I think.
She's at the NBA Awards.
Yes.
I
don't like this look anymore, though.
What?
The clear
lace
fabric.
Tablecloth, the lace see-through tablecloth over underwear.
Yeah, I don't like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's quite lovely.
She is actually pulling this dress off. I don't know if it's because there's feathers on top of the lace doily and there's a bit of a belt.
Yeah, go look at it. I think it would have been cute if it just stopped at the bottom of the skirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Did
your boys watch the NBA Awards? Were they watching
that? One is in
that?
Canada and one it was playing baseball. So I watched my boy play baseball last night.
Got it.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No awards were happening.
No
awards.
I didn't know any of that. I love Mariah Carey. She arrived in Tel Aviv yesterday to promote the premier Dead Sea Cosmetics. So obviously they're paying her some money to do it. And she had a press conference, and then someone asked her because her former fiancé, James Packer,
the billionaire,
is apparently a close friend of the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
And she was introduced to Netanyahu when she was in Israel once with James Packer. And so someone asked her, where is James Packer? I don't know where the mother bleeper is. How am I supposed to know? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't pay any attention. I don't know anything about this.
Because they want him because they...
Isn't he kind of in trouble for gifting
Netanyahu's son luxurious holidays on his yacht and his jet, and he gave...
And his fancy casino resorts and blah,
so
blah, blah.
So illegal gifting.
I guess she was very mad and she canceled the reception and...
Why blame me?
She's very divalicious. Anyway, she's going to be in Israel for several days to fulfill her...
cosmetic contract.
Those commitments, yeah.
Oh, Mariah.
I know. She'll be leaving with just wads and wads of goodie bags of products.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I wonder if it's any good.
Where is that?
Dead Sea products.
Where is that James Packard?
He is trying to get his company. I read a Vanity Fair profile on him, and they've lost a lot of money. He bet big on building these resorts in Macau.
Oh, gosh. Good old Macau, the Las Vegas of the China. Far East. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And
it's not going.
Well, there have been all kinds of problems. And Basically, he saw us like he was worth $2 billion, and now he's worth $1 billion. Again, it's rich people problems that we can't really relate to.
Not at all.
No. But anyway, I think he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's no chance they're getting back together.
I think you're right, Lori. We are never, ever, ever. Hell no. Hell no. I don't know where he is.
All right. We have so much.
He dumped her big time.
Yeah, he did. All right. Listen, we come back. We have so much to unpack in Hollywood speak. You're just going to have to stay tuned.
Previous.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
All right, Julia, yesterday we were talking about Brad Pitt and Sienna Miller and the Winnebagoes at Glastonbury, blah, blah, blah. And before we get into it, I just want to remind people that when Angelina filed for divorce from Brad Pitt last year, he hired all kinds of people to work on his side. He'd always been represented by CAA, but he added assortment of lawyers, obviously, a crisis manager type to help him mitigate the damage being done.
Absolutely.
Also, he hired someone to act as a publicist because Angelina famously does not have her own publicist.
Right.
So what I find interesting...
He had to hire people again.
Yeah, he had to hire people again. What I find interesting about this whole Brad Pitt, Sienna Miller story, and I know that the L. McPherson thing
is false.
A completely made up.
Yeah.
But it might be made up on his side. I think that might be true. But not one person from Team Brad Pitt will go on the record denying the Sienna Miller. That's how we know.
I think they're hooking
it's
up.
Happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, no, it's not true and blah, blah, blah. But they will say they did go on record and say absolutely not true about Elle McPherson. So maybe she planted the L's, that story about her and Brad Pitt to try and make her. I don't know. But Brad Pitt and Sienna is happening and it will get messy. That one is happening.
All right, because yesterday I was kind of skeptical, but I'm like, I would agree with you 100% that that one's happening.
Because they would have someone from his camp.
Deny it. Of course they would.
Vehemently deny it. Say it's false. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I do think that the convenience of the Elle McPherson story is like, oh, look, you know, that's another fake one. And there's just too much smoke. There's too much fire. And there's a lot of smoke around Brad and Sienna. And I believe it. I don't know that they'll officially date or anything, but I believe they've been hooking up.
They're having their needs met.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Don't you think
so? Perfect.
Okay.
Oh, there's lines. There's so much heat in those lines. They have to be taken care of. Yes, Jim.
I can't even believe this was said. So the Hollywood Awards, they have a chatter pad podcast that they do like every Monday. And
Kris Jenner
was on yesterday. And they asked her about, you know, well, that was pretty smart of you to broker and arrange the release of your daughter's sex tape with Ray J. 8 months before the Keeping.
How can you say
Keeping
that?
Up with the Kardashian premiered. And she, first of all, she told the person, I find that offensive.
Yep.
I did not broker that.
I was shocked. I was trying to act like
I know.
Chris.
She's such a liar. We already know.
We
have multiple people.
Break.
And then she said that was one of the most horrific things
ever
that we as a family went through. How can she say that? Because you're on the radio. It's easy to lie when you're on the radio.
You can't see the other side.
Yeah, you're indignant. No one can see your eyes.
My gosh.
She said, you know, haters are going to hate. She always says that. She sounds like she's...
And people are going to come up with the most ridiculous things to say.
First of all, you brokered that tape. It made your family... It put
household
you
name.
Off into the stratosphere, and
it was brilliant.
By the way, I don't know why she can't just take credit for it.
There would be no TV show without it.
Because I think, as a mother, that would be embarrassing to take credit for the fact that you brokered your daughter's porno tape.
So she's trying to protect her image as a good mom, or something.
Of course, I would be mortified to say, by the way, I brokered that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Police.
That would be embarrassing.
All right, okay.
We would judge. We already do judge, but you judge even more. Someone even, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Here's this is what Donatella Versace. This is in the cover story at Entertainment Weekly with the whole Versace cover with Ryan Murphy's American Crime Story.
Yep.
And they asked him about, you know, because of course, Donatella Versace is still alive, and he had to get her permission before moving forward with the show.
About her brother's murder.
Yeah, and Donatella, played by Penelope Cruz, had only one condition. She didn't want her children to be characters in the show, and I understood, so we removed that element, so we won't see Donatella with children. And there was one other conversation. It was a long one, but I'm not going to share with you what it is. What do you think that was about?
If you don't portray me with a beautiful woman, well, I'll be really upset. Don't show my saggy, wrinkled knees. Don't show my overly tan body.
This is 1980. You I know. Would have been
no, I'm. I like the one, keep my kids out of it. Keep
and
my
get a beautiful and woman to portray me.
Yeah, and get
me.
A beautiful woman to play me. And we're in. We're in.
All right. Very good.
I mean, you'd want a little control over that. She is a fashion lady.
Yes, that's true. Okay, Leslie Jones, she hosted the BET Awards on Sunday night. She had a great time. But on this, the last tweet that she had was yesterday. She's not updated it. Wow, it was such a great night at the BET Awards, but then had the worst day at Ritz-Carlton. Do not stay there. They don't like black people.
Ooh.
Maybe she's saving the full story for her TripAdvisor review.
Okay, so here,
what happened?
When I read that, we don't know yet. Here's my problem with this.
Ritz-Carlton was quick, though, to respond. We're very sorry. We give excellent service to all. Please DM us.
Yeah, direct message us. Here's my problem with that in so many levels, okay? Yeah. When celebrities publicly spew about a national organization, like what Kelly Osbourne did with the bathrooms at Starbucks, now you have Leslie Jones doing it with the Ritz-Carlton,
maybe
and saying they're
really
racist.
Maybe something really bad happened.
And then again, I don't know. I think that is such a broad statement. Maybe she just had a bad interaction with one person.
What is the world coming to when a rich, famous person can't have a good time at an expensive hotel?
Well, there's something wrong there. But I also think if you're going to slam an entire company, you know, she was a victim of bullying and abuse on Twitter, and she had to take, people were vile to her.
Yeah.
And she took it down. But when you say, don't stay there, they're horrible to black people, that's a big statement.
All right.
It's a serious
charge. That's a serious statement. And then
we don't know. I went to her Twitter today to find out. And
maybe it's something heinous. But again, I just think that's such a big statement.
Yeah.
I think it's bigger than...
You're painting with a very broad brush. What you're doing there.
She says they're racist.
She is not afraid to...
No?
To call them out. But yeah, you're right. She was quick to slap out on Twitter, but yeah. I really want to know what happened.
And I really personally...
Did she want a plate of Ritz crackers delivered by Carlton
Banks? I love it that
Banks?
You said that. I love it, Lori, that you said that. I love it that you said that. I don't know, but I have I just have a big issue. You know, a lot of people who have platforms have an ability to really hurt companies or help them do well.
Yeah.
And...
I don't think the Ritz-Carlton will necessarily be hurt by this, but the world wants to know what happened.
Well, right.
Leslie has been Twitter silent.
Why bring it up in the first place? You're not going to give us what happened.
I think they're hip. See, this is the thing with these phones and Twitters. You get pissed off about something. Don't stay there. You know?
I personally, and I know Julia feels the same way.
If I were
to get bad service at a hotel or an airline or a restaurant or anything that's got, you know, people that have to work with the public, I just would not take it out loud to social media.
Ever.
I think
it's bad form.
It's just, I don't know. The bad karma of it, I don't know. That's what, like, TripAdvisor is for, or Yelp, or you've got other places.
I can't even give a bad review on those.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I only give good reviews. Right. If I don't have anything nice to say about a business, I don't say anything at
all. That's kind of been our motto forever. Mm-hmm. We just don't say anything.
Okay, Miranda Kerr has given back the $8 million in stolen jewelry back to the U.S. Justice Department.
Because she had to go to jail. This is her boyfriend. You know, she went from Orlando Bloom, who didn't have any work except for pirates, to the first billionaire who she dated right after him.
He's a Malaysian billionaire, and he gave him to her apparently to launder, you know, to bring him into the
and had
US.
Him engraved with her initials, but he needed to launder some money, $8 million worth it. Of it, and so she had kept the gifts after she broke up with him and jumped onto this younger,
hotter. That's amazing.
$8 million worth of jewelry.
$4 million just for one pendant.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the U.S. government must have said, hey, that's ill-gotten booty, and if you don't give it back, mm-hmm. you're going to jail or you're getting a fine. And her Snapchat husband said, don't worry, honey, I'll buy you better stuff.
That's right, yes.
I'll buy you even better stuff.
Yeah. And I'll buy you more now that we can finally have sex because we're married. Because remember, they didn't have sex.
And Taylor Swift might be joining the X-Men franchise. Say your signature phrase, Julia.
We wish her well.
No, why?
Oh, I mean, why? I was going to say that, but I felt like I hated on her too much already.
Nothing like a 28-year-old playing a teen pop star.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Woo.
That gassy.
Oh, so much gossip still to get to, people.